Okay, we're cool. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. It's good. Hey, welcome this evening. Glad to see everybody out. We brought the family this evening and just wanted to be blessed with our family over here at Curtis. This morning we talked a little bit about Noah and why he was so important to us as Christians. Move with me to Genesis chapter 11. We kind of talked about how people and how long they lived this morning, right? Because of the creation and then the flood and after the flood and the effects on the earth. We talked a little bit about that, like how reptiles never stopped growing given the correct environment. And that's why you had dinosaurs the size of two-story buildings and stuff like that, because in a perfect environment, reptiles can grow and grow and grow. So you had, you know, for instance, just real fast, in Genesis chapter 5, Methuselah is the longest person who ever lived, 969 years. That's the longest on record, and that's amazing. Do you imagine all the kids that he had and watching their kids' kids? I mean, he was probably like a great, 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 great grandfather. Could you imagine? 969 years. So you come to Shem's family record. And by the way, what's one of the words in the book of Genesis that's repeated over and over and over? Do you know it? It's right there in verse 10. It's used a great deal in the book of Genesis, and the word is generations, or this is the family line of, or these are the generations of. That word or phrase is used many, many times in the book of Genesis because there's a lot of generations listed, and generations was very important to the Jewish people. So it starts out with Shem, and he was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And we know who Shem was, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons, right, of Noah. Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters, and he lived 530 years, right? So these guys are living 500, 600, 700 years, still here. You get down to the bottom, like verse 25, Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years, and he begat sons and daughters. You can see the ages of the people slowly coming down. They're not living as long because now you don't have that perfect environment with water above in the heavens and water under the earth and the perfect environment. You don't have that anymore. So now people only live maybe to a max of 120 years. By the time Abraham, Moses comes along, how long did Moses live? His life can be summed up in 40s, right? Three sets of 40. He lived 120 years. So in chapter 11 of Genesis, you actually have the genealogy that leads to Abram. And that's who we're going to be talking about tonight. Why is Abram so important to us as Christians? And that's what we want to tackle this morning. Chapter 12, the first three verses are really the most important verses when you want to talk about Abraham. It's the Abrahamic covenant. It's the covenant that God made with Abram, and it would be reiterated in chapter 15 and actually sealed in chapter 15. We're going to take a look at that when we get there. But let's start in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abraham," or Abram, "get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." And here it comes. So God is calling Abram out of his country, or of the Chaldees. He's calling this one man and his family and saying, it's time to go. I have special plans for you. In verse 2 and 3, is where he makes his promises to Abram. And you're going to notice there are promises. There's three sets of promises here. There's personal promises, there's national promises, and there's a promise for the whole world. and everybody in it. Okay, we're going to be taking a look at those things also. Verse 2, it says, A, I will make of thee a great nation. That's a personal promise. It's a national promise. B, I will bless you. Personal. I will make your name great. Personal. And you shall be a blessing. Personal. Verse 3, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. National. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that's everybody. So you can see Abraham and the promises that God gives, right, affect everyone. This one man and his promises affects everybody, whether it be Abraham, Abraham's seed, Abraham's nation, the children that come out of Abraham's loins, the people that are around Abraham, and even us today. It's going to affect all of us. And we actually see some of the bad things affecting us today because of Abraham's actions. And let's start out in verse 2. And just, I want to just go over this real generally and then tie in different scriptures with it. It says, I will make of you a great nation. And this is extremely important. Because Abraham, if you go a little longer on in the book of Genesis, he's going to have one son by the slave woman, Hagar, and one woman, one son by his wife. You're going to have Ishmael born first and Isaac born second. Now, if we go on to Genesis chapter 15, move over there with me. Because you got to understand, Abram, when he went to this land, by the time he gets over here, he's an old man. I feel like an old man sometimes. I'm only 42. But sometimes, and because your average age is what? Nowadays. Back then, you know, 90, 100, you're starting to feel old. You know, and you're thinking to yourself, starting? Man, no way. Just think of Adam. He feels like 600. Man, I'm feeling old today. You know, that's just crazy talk. But it's all relative, isn't it? And so here's Abram. He's got no kids. Verse 1 in chapter 15, and this is kind of like the sealing of the covenant for Abraham. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. So God is, think about that, a shield. He protects us. He protects Abraham, and he did, and his children, and his seed, all these years. I don't know how many of you have ever read about all the different wars that Israel has gone through and who has won. Normally, it's Israel. God protects his own. If you read about the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur and different wars like that, you will see the nations of the world came after the children of Israel, and who lost, right? Turkey, Russia, the Arab nations, they all lost. They lost big time, even though Israel was greatly outnumbered. God is a shield to his children and the exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Now, what was the promise back in chapter 12? I will make of you a great nation. How? I don't have any kids. I don't have anything to pass on. I will bless thee and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. How is this going to happen? I don't know. I'm getting old here, Lord. What's happening? And he says, the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. It's not even my child, and he's next in line for everything that I have. And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. So I don't even have one of my own. Behold, the word of the Lord came, verse 4, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And then look what he does, verse 5. Think of this promise. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. You know, Jacob was just in the Smoky Mountains, and, you know, I bet you could see some pretty good stars from up there. And, you know, when you go up north where there's no, you know, ambient lighting that's reflecting off from all the shopping centers and stuff, you can see, you know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 stars, 3,000. But there's how many in the universe? You know, it's just, I was just reading today. You remember we were talking about aliens and stuff like that? There, there's a NASA unmanned mission that's going through, and they found quote-unquote Earth-like planets out there. And they're all, oh good, there's Earths out there. We can like populate other regions of space like Star Trek. And I'm going, you're just going to mess those worlds up too if you ever get out there, right? Because that's what man does. He messes stuff up. So why am I saying that? Because he said to Abraham, if you can number them, that's how much your, how many children, your seed, that's how many there's going to be. I can't, I can only count, you know, I get, you know, tired after counting about 10, 20. And then you lose count. You know, I can't mark them in the sky. So you're going, well, how do I mark them? So you don't count them over again. How many children is that? Well, how's it going to happen if I don't have any kids? That'd be tough. My seed. And verse 6 is the crux and so important to all of us because it marks out true faith and the receiving of God's righteousness, because it's what's reflected in Romans and Galatians to the believer. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham had faith. He placed his faith in the Lord, in Jehovah God, and God took his righteousness and gave it to Abraham. And that's a picture of someone trusting in Christ, not with the righteousness of my own, but with his righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. So think about this. I'm going to make you a great nation, but I don't even have a place to call my home. Right, Abraham? I'm going to call you out of the Ur of Chaldees, and you're going to go to a place that I'm going to show you. I don't even have a place yet. I'm just wandering. And yet here is this place. And what was that place? We're going to find that out in a little bit. But how is a covenant sealed? This is so interesting. In the Jewish times, this is the way a covenant was sealed, one way, I should say, but a very interesting and powerful way. How shall I know, verse 8, that I should inherit this land? What kind of promise are you going to make? What are you going to show me? What are you going to do? Well, this is what people used to do. Reading in verse 9. Take a heifer 3 years old and a she-goat 3 years old and a ram 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now, that always didn't happen that way. They didn't have to have all those things. But the picture is God wanted to seal this. He's using all the animals they use for sacrifices and things like that. And he took all these, he divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds he did not cut in half. So in other words, you know what that means? He cut the animal in half and he spread it out so that the blood would come off the animals and meet in the middle and make like a little river, okay? And they did that with the animals. And then what they would do is they would take off their shoes and they would walk two people, whoever's making the covenant, between the animals in the blood, thereby signifying, if I break my end of the covenant, may my blood be shed. Okay? Get that picture in your head, because that's what this covenant, and that's how they sealed it. And so it says, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, verse 12, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, what was that? That was in the land of Egypt. Now, they were in Egypt 400 and how many years? 30. And here it says 400. It's a generality, because the thought process was a generation is 100 years back then, because men lived longer, right? How long a generation today is maybe what, 40, 50, 60? It depends what people think. Back then it was longer because people lived longer. So we're talking about Egypt. Okay? And then skip down to verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, and remember, Abraham, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. So he's no longer part of this. And it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And then look at verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Interestingly, in Jewish history and in Jewish knowledge, that smoking furnace and the burning lamp are recognized as the feet of God. Are they pictured anywhere else in the Old Testament? In a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Do you remember? Right? When they were being chased by the Egyptians. And God in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire guarded them one by day and one by night. Right? Interesting. So it was always thought that this was like the feet of God walking between those. So who walked between the carcasses? Did Abram walk between the carcasses? No, he did not. God is saying, I will keep the covenant. No matter what you do, because it's a promise. So no matter what you do, Abram, I'm keeping this one. And if anything ever goes wrong, who pays for it? Well, it's interesting if you go to the New Testament, because all nations will be blessed through blessed Abraham, right? Through faithful Abraham. Who's the one that shed his blood? Who's the one, even though we were sinners and the Jews were sinners, who's the one that died on the cross? God, right? God the Son shed his blood. And that is so wrong to the covenant. But what did God say when he made it? I'll keep it. I will procure it. I'm the one that's going to do it. So this covenant, is it laid on Abraham at all? It's a promise. It's a promise of God. It's not based on whether Abraham is faithful or not, even though in times he was. But in times, was he faithful? Tell you what, when he went to Egypt, and what did he tell you? He said, hey, wife of mine, if we go into Egypt, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you're so beautiful, and Pharaoh's going to want you. So why don't you say that you're my sister? And then he won't kill me, and he'll keep you alive. Is that being faithful? Trusting God? No. In fact, how many times did he do that? He did it twice. You think he learned the first time, right? Because Pharaoh had this dream after he took Sarah away from Abraham, and he had this dream, and the Lord said, don't you dare touch her. And Pharaoh came back to Abraham and said, why'd you lie to me? Why'd you lie to me? Why don't you just tell the truth? Didn't God say that I will be your shield, Abraham? So why didn't you listen? Why didn't you listen? This promise, so there's his seed, right? I've just made this covenant with you. You will have a seed. You will have land. You will be a great nation. You will be blessed. Your name will be great. You're going to have the seed as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the heaven. And every person, every nation will be blessed because of you, Abraham. And I've just sealed it. God just walked through that blood. That blood. Now, what about the nation? Think about this. I'm going to take you to a land which you do not know. What's the promise? What is the promise that he was promised? If you continue on in that chapter, he's going to tell you how much land they actually have. How much did God give them? Because right now, the land of Israel, who's ever been to the land of Israel? How big is that little country? Maybe the size of New Jersey? It's really small. It's really small. And all the countries around them, of course, are Arabic, and they all want to crush that little nation and send it into the Mediterranean, right? They hate Israel. In fact, Ahmadinejad keeps talking about, I'm going to nuke them out of existence. Never happen. It will never happen. What were they promised? Look at verse 18. Remember it said, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. So he's sealing it and he's telling him, here's what I'm giving you. Think about this. Unto your seed, who did he make the promise to? Abram. And to who? Abram's seed. Who were Abraham's sons? The ones of the promise. Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, and it goes on. Have I given this land? Now think about this. From the river of Egypt, what river is that, folks? Do you know that river? Which one, Bruce? Nile. The Nile. You can't be in denial about this. Okay? Ha ha, that's really funny. Denial. denial splits Egypt in half. Did you know that? Pretty much. Like three-fifths. Denial. So in other words, if you go from the Nile all the way to the great river, the river Euphrates, how much land is that? Can you just say a lot? That's a ton of land. That's the promise, huh? A lot. Oh boy. I like 6 o'clock, so they're a little more loose. So that's the promise. So there's your land. Do they have that land? Did they ever have it? Do they have it now? Certainly not. But one day they will. One day they will. Now here comes an issue. You think of Abraham, you're going to have as many seed as the stars of the sky. And God promised, he said, Abraham, you will have a child. It'll be of your own. So in chapter 16, what does he do? He kind of says, you know what? And Sarah does too. She's like, I can't wait. Sarah's like, I'm an old woman. I can't have kids. I've never had kids. Here's my handmaiden. Why don't you take her and have a kid? And this is where all the trouble in the world starts. You want to talk about trouble and issue? This is it. The major problem in the world today started right here in chapter 16. Did you know that? Some of you may not know that. Because when Abraham went in and she bore a child and named him Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of the who? Do you know? Yeah, the father of the Arab nations. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. In fact, a little bit farther in Genesis, the Lord says to Ishmael and his mother, out of you will come 12 princes or kings. You will be a wild man, you will live, and you will be against your brother, and you will, all these things that come to Ishmael, right? So here you have Ishmael, and he is the child of the bondwoman. Now this is important. In fact, it's reflected in the New Testament. After the child comes along, Sarah's like, you know what? Now I'm angry. Now I don't like her anymore. Now I want her and her kid out of here. Her child cannot take part in this. And so she is very abusive toward her. She kicks her out. There's a whole story to that whole thing, but suffice to say, Ishmael will become a great nation. Many nations will come out of him. But he will not bear the promise. They will not bear the promise. That will come in chapter 18. We're talking about the seed now. We're talking about the sands of the sea. And how is this going to happen? And where's my heir? Right? Because we talked about the land. In chapter 18, it says, the Lord appeared unto him in the place of Mamre, and said in the tent door, in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground. He said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Who were these three? Well, it's going to go on. And you're going to find out that two of them are angels, and one of them is pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord. So who's he talking to? He's talking to God and two angels. So they do all these things. They get ready. They want to feed them, because that's what happened in those days when strangers came. You sat them down. You brought them in. You washed their feet. You made them food. They could stay the night. That's what they weren't like Holiday Inns. You know what I mean? Motel 6. There weren't those things. So where'd you stay? Sometimes you just stayed with perfect strangers. You know what's interesting? I found out that there are teenagers in Europe, when they graduate, they sometimes do these like backpacking trips. They just go, put a backpack on and go. Very little money. And there's a website where it has list of names of people that will just take you in. Now, that could be worrisome, because I don't know this guy. He could be like a mass murderer or something. But that's what they do, and they'll write email, hey, listen, we're going to be there in August, da-da-da-da-da, in da-da-da-da-da, India. Could you please take us in? Yes. And they just travel. And people, strangers, just take them in. I'd be, of course, I don't eat a lot of food. I'm kind of picky on what I eat, so I don't think I could travel the world. Because, you know, they eat bugs and snakes and stuff like that. I couldn't do that. Remember the Olympics in China and all the different things they were showing that people ate, like scorpions and stuff? Couldn't do it. Sorry. Not going to happen. So anyway, where were we? I'm trailing. Because that's what they did here. They just traveled. Stranger was coming, you'd bring them in. So here in chapter 18, as they're fixing things and Sarah's fixing the meal and they're getting these people all set in, verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee." This is the Lord God talking to Abraham. "To the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She couldn't have children anymore. And then what does she do? "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying," did you notice that? She laughed within herself. So in other words, I didn't hear it. Abraham didn't hear it. She laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Right? They were 10 years apart, and they were up there in age. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" She laughed to herself. So now Abraham's going, "Who is this? Who is this person I'm talking to?" 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Folks, if there's another point that could be made in this whole text, when you are living your life for the Lord, you're doing things and you're coming up on brick walls, is anything too hard for the Lord? I just want to know. If it's His will for your life, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, really, is anything? You can answer me. This is like the 6 o'clock. You guys can like answer me. No. Right? Thank you. I need some like feedback. God's will done God's way will never lack what? God's provision, right? That's just the way it is. So, is anything too hard for the Lord? "At the time appointed, I will return according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And she denied and said, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. But he said, "Oh, yes, you did." "Oh, yes, you did." So then Abraham goes and begs for Sodom, and the two angels go down into Sodom, and they talk to Lot, and he's in there. So there you have it. You have two sons. Because later on, what's going to happen is the Lord's going to come back, and Sarah is going to have a child. Chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, "The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." Verse 2, "Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." What does the word Isaac mean? Do you know? What did Sarah do in the tent? What did she do? Laughed. Right. What's Isaac's name mean? Laughter. In fact, God's the one who said, "You shall name your son Isaac." Laughter. Right? Why? Because I had a son in my old age. Laughter. Joy. My only son. Think about that. Sarah's only child to this point. She was childless. So you have Isaac, the child of the free, and you have Ishmael, the child of the slave woman. Who does the promise go to? Who does the promise of that land go to? It doesn't go to Ishmael, it goes to Isaac. And now these two boys will be at odds with each other for thousands of years. Over in the Middle East, who are the two nation groups that are at odds with each other, that cause the whole world to go, "What is going on over there?" Who is it? It's Israel and the Arab nations. Isaac, Ishmael. So how does this affect us today? It affects us greatly because there's oil in that region, right? And there's tension in that region. And there's always been war in that region because of those two boys. Because Abraham didn't trust God. Adam didn't trust God, and he didn't tell his wife, don't eat of that tree, and she did. Or maybe she just slipped up, or maybe she really wanted it. And we're suffering because of sin. Abraham, he didn't trust God. Now we got wars and all kinds of stuff over there. You see what I mean? People, you talk to people at work, oh yeah, that's been going on for thousands of years. That's not going to change. Well, yes, it has been going on for thousands of years, but do you know why? Bible right here, it's biblical. See it? This is history. And that's what I was trying to get the point across this morning, is this is history. This is true history. So when you go through Genesis 1 through 11, you can't just throw that away and say, oh, that's just fairy tale. You can't do it. You know, like Star Trek, forgot which movie it was, like 5 or 6, and they're in Spock's room, and he's got a picture up on the wall of Adam and Eve in the garden. And Spock says, yes, I have that to remind me of the myth. And that's what many people say it is, but it's not. Because history plays out from that, right? From that till all the way through 11, it's all true. It's all true. So we have, here we go. We got, I'm going to make you a great nation. There's your land. You're going to have as many seed as the stars of the sky. Isaac, Ishmael. Think about that. Those are his two sons. So just numbering all those people who have ever been born, that's millions upon millions upon millions of children, right? Just from those two boys. So God has kept his promise, right? Has he not? You have been and are a great nation. You have seed as the stars of the sky. What about I will bless thee? Was Abraham a rich man? Tell you what, when he went, him and Lot left, and he took his nephew Lot, and they left, and they came into this new land, and they had all their stuff together. And by the way, you know what their stuff was? It wasn't houses and cars. It was cattle and horses and sheep. And they did have gold, but that's how they measured riches. And their shepherds were fighting. So Abraham said, why don't we split up? So Lot said, you know what? I looked in this great valley, the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I loved it, and there was plenty of water, so I'll take that. And Abraham said, okay, I'll go over here. Right? Abraham was rich beyond measure. Rich beyond measure. And the nation would also be, think, when they came out of Egypt, after the 430 years of captivity, what did they come out with? Do you remember the story? The Egyptians, after the last plague, were giving them things to go away. They carried the riches of Egypt out of Egypt. And there was what, maybe 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people total marching out of Egypt? They took the riches of Egypt. So God is true. He blessed Abraham. Abraham was blessed. He had many children. He had the promise of his son. He had the promise of that great nation. He had all these riches. Translated to the nation has always been blessed. Who in the world points to Abraham as their founder? Did you know? Do you know? What religions of the world point to Abraham as their founder? Judaism, right? Because, of course, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's the 12 tribes. How about Christianity? Do we point to Abraham? We certainly do, don't we? Because he was the first who had faith. Abraham believed God and was counted in for righteousness. Judaism is the root of the tree of Christianity. It's where we came from. How about Islam? Does Islam point to Abraham as one of their founders? You can nod your head yes on this one. Yes, they do. Abraham's name is great in 3 of the 4 major religions of the world. His name is great, and even Islam. And that's why I was saying about Noah's Ark this morning. If they found Noah's Ark, would it be a big deal? Yes, it would, but it would be a big deal to the Muslims too. So it wouldn't just prove Christianity. So it's interesting. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. How many times did Abraham go and save somebody's hide? Can you think of Lot? When Lot was taken captive, it was Abraham who went and saved him. It was Abraham who pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. If there just be 10, would you not destroy it? Remember, he started at like 50, and he got down to 10, so there wasn't even 10 in the city, because the city was destroyed. Abraham was a blessing to all those around him. Now, here's the point I want to make, because this next one, if you think of the Abrahamic covenant, all the things, right, you've got personal to Abraham, and he has blessed Abraham and made his name great and given him many children, right? And national, they have their land, and they're a great nation. They're actually, the Bible says later on, they're a cup of trembling to the nations of the world. When you talk about Israel, people, it's a love-hate relationship, isn't it? There are people who hate the Jews, and it's demonically inspired. And there are people who love them, Bible-believing Christians who believe in the New Testament. It's interesting, though, I was just reading online how the Presbyterian Church wrote a letter. It was one of them, wrote a letter condemning Israel. A church that says they believe this, condemning Israel. I don't think so. That is so unbiblical. It is so wrong. You would hope people would just get up and leave. So, and then get this one. And this is kind of goes along with the war thing and all these things. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Whenever you mess with Israel, God calls Israel the apple of his eye in Scripture. If you ever poked somebody in the eye, does it hurt? You ever get poked in the eye? My brother-in-law got a stick stuck in his eye. It like went in right here. It didn't stick in his eye. It went like right in the inside of his eye. It hurts. You ever get poked? It hurts bad. It makes you mad, doesn't it? You just want to punch the guy for doing it, poking you in the eye. You poke God in the eye, you're going to pay. You're going to pay big time. Think about it. They are the apple of my eye, the Lord says. You poke him in the eye, yeah, watch out. I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. One of the reasons that I believe that America has been so blessed, not only because of missionaries that we have sent out, and now we're not the greatest nation in sending out missionaries, South Korea is, it's because we've always, for the most part, there have been times when we haven't, but we've backed Israel. There was a time when we didn't, and there's been a few presidents who have not. But as of late, up until very recently, they all have. They have all backed Israel. And we've been blessed. But I tell you what, if America ever, ever, ever turns its back on the nation of Israel, we are in trouble. And this nation is in trouble enough as it is. Now, national promises, personal promises, what about for you and for me? And this is why Abraham is so important, and I'm going to finish with this. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. How is that possible? How does Abraham bless me and my family? How does that work? I don't understand it. I do understand it. I'm just kidding. I just said that just to say, I want to see your reaction. If you were to march yourself into the New Testament, into the book of Galatians, in chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul quotes that one verse that we read in the book of Genesis chapter 12. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Sound familiar? Genesis 12, when Abraham believed God. Verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Did you know that you're a child of Abraham? I am not a literal seed of Abraham because I'm not Jewish. Okay, if you were Jewish, you would be a literal, true seed of Abraham. I am not. Someone is in this very room. But even more than that, if you are of faith, if you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, because if you look in Matthew and Luke, in the genealogies of Jesus Christ, who do you see? I see Abraham, and I see Noah, and I see Adam in the lineage, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. If you are of the faith, you've trusted in Christ, you are the same as the children of Abraham. Why is Abraham so important to us today? Because Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and so did I, when I was 19 or 20, and I'm 42, so that'd be like 22 or 23 years ago. I'm a child of Abraham. Right? Do you ever hear that Sunday school song? I've been thinking about this all day. I dread, you know, I was thinking, should I sing this? Should I not sing this? Will it drive everyone out? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. You know what I mean? Left arm. And they just do all these motions and stuff. No, no, no. And the leg and the head and all kinds of, I'm not doing it. So we are the same. Verse 8, in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, you heathen, that's me, that's the Gentiles, through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham historically is so important because not only is he in the lineage of Jesus Christ, not only is it because his two sons cause havoc in all kinds of regions of the world, but because he was the first one recorded who said he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That faith. And it's the same faith when we put our faith in Christ. It's the same thing. Folks, praise God for faithful Abraham. Praise God for God who made promises to Abraham. And praise God that God keeps his promises. It would be horrible if God said, you know what? I ain't keeping these anymore. I'm all done with you. Bye. And there's a lot of religions in the world and a lot of cults, and I'm thinking of a couple specifically, that believe the nation of Israel has been removed and they have taken their place. You guys are not the nation of Israel. Okay, they are still their own entity. Praise God for his word, his historical, biblical, accurate, inerrant, inspired word. So Genesis 1 through 11 and the rest of the book, can you trust it? Are you going to throw it away like a lot of Christians do today? Christians? No, you're not. It is actual history. Father, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for faithful men in the Old Testament. We're thankful that they are real. They really lived, and they're really living today because they are alive. And one day they'll be resurrected and be with you just like we will. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Noah. And these men, and we're thankful for them and for the things that they show. And we're thankful for your word that we can trust, we can believe in, and we can know it's accurate and true. We thank you for food that's been provided. And we ask that you would bless our fellowship and bless our rides home. You keep us all safe. And let us be workers for God this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.